Have you ever been to a class reunion? Ever been to one of those? You know what I'm talking about, right? So 2004, you finished high school, and they have a class reunion of 2014 or whatever, you know? That sounded wrong somewhere. Now, I know it doesn't look like it. I know it doesn't look like it, and you're probably going to be surprised. But I finished school in 1986. I know it doesn't look like it, and you're surprised. Actually, some of you are surprised that I even went to school, but I did, yeah, right. Anyway, I have never been to my school reunion, never. They've had them, but I don't go. There's no ways I'm going to a school reunion without my hair. They remember me as this bleach blonde surfer, and I'm happy to leave it like that. I don't want to change anything. But isn't it funny how life turns out? Isn't it strange? Don't you get a surprise? What's the thing about a school reunion? Is you go there and it's such a surprise how people turn out. I never thought, did you see? Whatever, you know, Dwayne's got no hair, whatever. You know, it's like, life is full of surprises. And let's be honest, we actually go to school reunions because we want to see who the winners are. I mean, we won't admit that, but what's the first question you ask at a school reunion? So what do? You know, it's like, where am I? Am I above you? Am I below, you know? It's such a surprise. At school, my bestie was a guy called Sandy. Actually, I'm not going to tell you what I really called him because we're in church. But Sandy was my best mate. We surfed together. We camped on the beach together. We skipped school together. He was my bestie. Now, I thought the world of Sandy. I thought this guy was awesome. I thought he was so clever. He was the most popular guy at school, definitely. Everyone loved Sandy. He was funny. He was creative. He's always making money. He's got these funny little schemes, you know. He's always making money, good ideas. Now, after school, I left the little country surfy town that I grew up in, and I went to uni in the big city of Durban. And all my mates grew up, and some of them became chicken farmers, and some of them became herb farmers, not the herbs you cook. Well, you can eat them anyway. So anyway, many years later, I became a lawyer. And I was at a function, it was a charity function, and I was all toffed up, suit and tie, and I bumped into one of my school teachers, my English teacher. And I said to her, "Oh, wow, Mrs. Surtees." I still remember her name, Mrs. Surtees. And she said, "Oh, Dwayne, oh, it's so good to see you. Please call me Yvonne." And I was like, "Oh, wow, that's awkward. I mean, teachers are just under God, right? And she's treating me like a human being. It's so cool, you know." It was weird. But anyway, so we chatted a while, and I really liked her. She was lovely. And she asked me, "How's Sandy doing?" And I was like, "Oh, you know, to be honest," and I had to tell her, "Sandy has made a mess. Such a waste. The last I heard about Sandy was he became a serious hippie. He wore like these flowing robes, and he was skinny, absolutely emaciated. He lived on drugs. He lived in a little commune in a place called the Wild Coast. He had hallucinations. He spoke to fairies. He literally was off with the fairies. Basically, he was just a hobo, complete mess." And as I told her this, she said something to me that I'll never forget. I'm telling you. She said this, shocked me. She said, "Oh, that's so sad. Still, I always knew that Sandy would make a mess of his life." I was shocked. I didn't say anything. "Really? How did you know? I thought he was a winner. How did she know?" See, here's the thing at school. We can't judge things at school. We think the cool kids are the winners. That's what we think. The cool kids are going to win, right? We just can't see it properly. If you're a winner at school, you're going to be a winner in life, right? Well, that's what we think. But here's the thing. Teachers have seen it all before. Not the new ones, but the ones who've been around a while. They've seen it all before. They can see better than us kids. They see much better. Why am I starting this morning like this? Because I want to tell you that Jesus can see everything. Jesus sees clearly. He looks out, not over a classroom. Jesus looks out across Perth. Jesus sees across all of humanity. And Jesus knows who the winners are. We don't. We're like a bunch of high school kids. We're just part of the crowd. We judge things wrongly. We don't see it clearly. We look at all the shiny, happy, bouncy people, and we think they're the winners. We look at the rich and the famous and the popular, and we think, you're the winner. We look at PewDiePie. Surely he's the winner. Or we look at Ariana Grande or Billie Eilish, my new favorite. So pretty, so talented, so young, winner. And then we look at a Christian. What? What did you say? A Christian. Ordinary. No, wait. Lame. Actually, what would you call a Christian? Actually, I know. Irrelevant. That's what I'm thinking. Irrelevant. But we can't see properly. Jesus can see better than us. And what he does is he says some radical things that the world will never say. Look with me at verse 3. Look what he says. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Did you think that? Blessed are the meek. What? They will inherit the earth. Do you see what Jesus is doing? He's turning it upside down. He thinks the people we think are the winners are not the winners. Jesus is radical. Last week I explained to you what the word blessed means. What does the word blessed mean? It means you're in a good place. It means you're the winner. Jesus is saying, good on you. He's not saying it's a subjective feeling. Blessed is not a subjective feeling. Feelings come and go. Jesus is saying it's an objective state. On ya, mate. You're sorted. That's what Jesus is saying. You're the winner. So this morning, I'm going to invite you to sit, listen to what Jesus says about a Christian. In fact, here's a question for you. I want you to think about this question the whole way through this morning. Why would anyone want to be a Christian? That's the question. Why would you want to be a Christian? Why would you want to be a Christian? I'll show you. Let me show you what Jesus says. Last week we saw this. Have a look online here. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Today, just one thing. Have a look at number 2. Blessed are those who mourn. They will be comforted. That's all we're going to think about. Why would anyone want to be a Christian? Let me show you. So have a look at what Jesus says in verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn. They will be comforted. Do you know there's some people who mourn and get angry with God? I'm mourning. I had a bad life, so I'm angry with God. You're not listening. Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. They will be comforted. So what does Jesus mean? Blessed are those who mourn. What does he mean? Does he mean it's everybody who cries? Hey, if you're crying, it's going to be awesome. Is that what he means? It's not just personal bereavement. That's not what he's talking about. If you're here this morning and you're a Docker supporter, you know what it's like to cry. But I don't think you're ever going to be comforted. It's, I don't know. My point is, it's not just because you're upset. That's not what Jesus is saying. This is not for everybody. Not everybody gets a happy ever after. Not everybody gets a happy ever after. Some people are going to mourn now, and because of their own choice, they're going to mourn forever as well. Don't choose that. Do not choose that. Don't lose in this life and lose in the next. That's not clever. It also doesn't mean personality type. Jesus is not talking about your personality. Winnie the Pooh, lovable but clueless. Tigger, happy and bouncy. Piglet, frightened, scared. Rabbit, mature, grown up, boring. Eeyore, mourning. Blessed are those who have got Eeyore personalities. No, Jesus is not talking about your personality. Here's what Jesus means. Blessed are those who look to God for comfort. You can always tell what a beatitude means by the second half. The second half corresponds to the first half. Blessed are those who look to God for comfort. Actually, Jesus is quoting, as we expect, he's quoting the Old Testament. Have a look at this verse here from Isaiah 61. This is Jesus talking before he came to earth. Have a look at this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has appointed me to bring good news to the poor. That's the verse we looked at last week. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress. Instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. This is Jesus speaking through his prophet Isaiah 700 years before he came to earth. And he's now repeating it while he's here on earth. Thanks, Karen. Why were God's people mourning? Why does Jesus have to comfort them anyway? Here's why God's people were mourning. In the Old Testament, God's people were specific. They were Israel. But God's people, Israel, had turned their back on God. They walked away from him. They wanted to be like all the nations around them. I just want to fit in. I just want to be like everybody else. That's what Israel was. And so God gave them over. He said, yeah, you want joy in your idols? Okay, go. See if you find your joy like a good parent with a teenage child. And you know what happened? It led to disaster and ultimately exile, which I won't go into now. But some people in Israel, just a few, like the prophet Isaiah, mourned for God. They said, no, it's better with God. And they mourned for him. And so God sent the prophet Isaiah to say, come back to me. Those of you who mourn for me, you will be comforted. Now their story is our story. It's the same story. God created us for himself. Why do you exist? Give me a better reason. God made you for him. That's why you exist. You were made for God. You were designed for joy. Did you know that? You were designed for joy. Human beings can't live without joy. You can live without Maccas, but you can't live without joy. One day I was driving my old VW. Do you remember those old VW Beetles, you know? I was driving it down the freeway. While I'm driving, suddenly my back wheel came off and overtook me. And it was late at night. There were sparks behind me. I then learned that you're supposed to make sure your wheel bearings have grease in them. I know now, but I didn't know then. Wheels can't spin nicely without grease. If there's no grease, do you know they still turn? Their engine drives them, but they grind, and it's horrible, and they scrape. Life without joy is like that. Joy is the grease of life. If you don't have joy, life will force you to keep going. You're going to wake up in the morning and you still have to get up. And you're still going to go to work. And you're still going to smile. And you're still going to go, how are you going, mate? And you're still going to go, I'm fine, thank you. The wheel's turning, but it is grinding. And it's horrible. And there's no grief. And you know what's going to happen? The wheel's going to come off one day. So do you know what you must do? Grab your smartphone. That's right. And just start flicking. Why do you do that? Because entertainment is the drug. That's why. It stops you thinking. Do you know what you need? Distraction. Go online and play games all day. It's distracting. Binge on TV. Why do you do that? You need to be distracted. Because if you're not distracted, you'll stop and you'll realize this is not making me happy. I don't have joy. I'm hollow. Where's the joy? God made you for joy. But that joy can only be found in Him. Only. You can try. You're not going to succeed. Nothing on earth will satisfy your soul outside of God. Nothing. And Jesus says, blessed are the people who realize this. The way to blessedness, the first step, is to realize, if we're honest about it, nothing is satisfying my soul. You're in a good place. You're in a good place. Let me this morning give you three reasons why Christians mourn. Christians mourn for three reasons. Number one, Christians are not at home in Perth. That's the first reason Christians mourn. We like Perth, but it's not paradise. It's broken paradise. Christians mourn because, yes, Perth, I kite surf. Lots of good things about Perth, but it ain't perfect. We mourn because we are longing for a better world. By contrast, if you're not yet a Christian, you might be thinking, no, I'm happy here. I'm comfortable. Perth's my home. I don't need anything else. Really? Do you think this is as good as it can get? Really? If you're an atheist, here's what you think. There is no better world. Full stop. This is as good as it's ever going to get. Suck it up, princess. If you're an atheist, that's how you think. No, says Jesus. No. There's a better world coming, and blessed are those who mourn for it and long for it. Second reason Christians mourn. Christians mourn about evil and wrong. We see broken relationships. We see drug addiction. We see child abuse. We see greed. We see domestic violence. And it cuts us up inside. Christians are real. I went down to Fiona Stanley Hospital this past week to visit someone. I sat in the coffee shop, and while I'm sitting in the coffee shop, this young girl walks in and sits next to me, and she's got no hair, just like me. But she's also got no eyebrows. And as I look at her, I realize here is a young girl, and she's got cancer. What? And it cuts me up, and I mourn, and I think, God, how long is this going to carry on for? Christians mourn. But if this morning you don't know God, what do you do? Oh, well, that sucks, but hey, at least it's not me. Actually, I don't try and think about it. Oh, have you seen this new meme? Oh, it's so funny. Distract yourself. Do not think about it. Christians are real. We mourn. Thirdly, do you know what else upsets Christians? Do you know what makes Christians mourn? Their own sin. See, you might be sitting there thinking, typical Christians, they look at everywhere else and they always, no. Christians think that the mess inside here is worse than the mess out there. That's what Christians think. We mourn about our own fallenness. It upsets us that we don't love God like we should. It upsets us that we don't love our neighbors like we should. We regret so many things. Christians are people who regret things. We mourn because of the things we've done. We are people who want to change. Contrast, if you're not yet a Christian, I don't want to change. I'm okay the way I am. Wow. So you don't mourn. Okay. Blessed are those who mourn, says Jesus. Those are three reasons why Christians mourn. If that's you, you're in a great place. Good on you, mate. Jesus says you're blessed. I lived next to a man, old guy, from Macedonia when I first lived in Australia. I got to know him quite well, and we became good friends. A very old guy, frail. I tried to tell him about Jesus. Not interested. Not at all. He said to me, I haven't been perfect, but I don't need forgiveness. Listen to this. I don't have any regrets. Really? There's a man who doesn't mourn. He was proud, arrogant. Do you know he passed away 2 years ago? Passed away. Where do you think he is now? Where's he now? Do you think he's in front of God and God says, you were right, mate. You don't need my forgiveness. You're awesome. Do you think Jesus is in front of him now saying, you're a winner. No regrets. That's awesome. Well done. Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. If that's you, you're a winner today. That's what Jesus says. All right, if I'm a winner, where's my prize? What do I get? So I just cry for the rest of my life? What's my prize? Look at verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn. Here's why. For they, no one else, they shall be comforted. Oh, Christian, do you know what lies ahead of you? Have you got this? You will be comforted. It's going to be amazing. These words come out of Isaiah chapter 40. Look what God says in Isaiah 40. Comfort. This is God speaking. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Cry to her. Look, her warfare is ended. All that fighting. It's okay. It's going to be over. All your fighting. Her warfare is ended. Her iniquity is pardoned. All those sin, all that regret, I've forgiven you. She has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Life has been hard. Discipline has been rough. Comfort, my people, says your God. And after God said that, people waited. And they waited, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited. And at last, God came. Jesus Christ was God on earth. He came to comfort his people No wonder in verse 4, Jesus can say this. Look at verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Jesus can say that because he is the comfort. Jesus is the one who takes away our sin. Jesus is the one who shares in our lives if you're a Christian. He's very familiar with the Old Testament says Jesus was a man of sorrows, well acquainted with grief. Have you ever struggled in your life to find someone who can relate to you? Does no one get you? No one gets you, right? I want to tell you, someone gets you. Someone really gets you. Jesus gets you. There's nothing you've been through that he hasn't been through. He doesn't get you from a distance. He's walked the same road you have. In Proverbs chapter 14, it tells us, only a man's heart knows his own sorrow. No one shares in it. Jesus does. That's why he became a man. And he didn't just come to share in your mourning. He came to deal with your mourning. He did something. That's what makes Jesus better than any other religious teacher. Other people who love you and who do care can't fix your pain. Jesus can fix your pain. Do you know what he did? He died on a cross in absolute grief for you. He died for you. When Jesus hung on that cross, you know what happened? A soldier ran up to him. There's Jesus hanging on that cross in agony, mourning, crying out for God, my God, my God. He's mourning for God. A soldier runs up and stabs him in the side. And the witnesses tell us blood and water came out. Jesus died literally of a broken heart. He knows what it's like to mourn. And he did that to get rid of evil. He did that so we can be forgiven. He drank the bitter cup of mourning of God's judgment for us. He did it for you. Dwayne, just how does Jesus stop my mourning? Let me show you. First of all, a Christian has got no regrets. Oh, that's a contradiction. Listen. We have done wrong things. We admit it. But here's what we do. We look back at our sin, and when I look at my sin and I go, But the Christian looks further back. And what does he see? Jesus hanging on the cross to forgive those sins. We see our regrets dealt with. No carpet sweep your regrets. No. Christians look at Jesus who died for our sin so that our sin is removed. It's dealt with. It's gone. Contrast. Someone is not yet a Christian. You look back at your regrets and go, that wasn't great. What's on TV? Distract yourself. Don't think too much. We deal with ours because Jesus died for us. See, if you're not yet a Christian, her sin doesn't make her mourn. It just makes her angry. She doesn't go back to Jesus. And so she's not blessed. Secondly, how does Jesus deal with my mourning? He didn't stay dead. What's the point of a dead Savior? Jesus rose physically from the dead. Do you know what that means? Well, first of all, it's proof that there is life after death. But that means there's a new world coming. There's my guarantee that mourning will not last forever. Because he rose from the dead. Look at what Jesus said. He's talking to his disciples about his death and resurrection. Look what he says, if you can see that. Truly, truly, I say to you, This is Jesus. You will weep and mourn, lament, same word. But the world's going to have a party. They're going to rejoice. He's talking about dying. Look what he says. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, ladies, if we've got this wrong, tell us. She has sorrow because her hour's come. I don't know how they do it. But when she's delivered her baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Jesus says in the same way, so also you've got sorrow now, but I'll see you again. Oh, how's those words? I will see you again. Your hearts will rejoice. Here's the best. No one will take your joy from you. Blessed are those who mourn. Why would you not want to be part of this? Jesus rose and started a brand new creation. And just like he's telling his disciples, you'll see me again, we will see him again. If you're not yet a Christian, you're also, stop saying you don't have faith, you do. You have faith. Something is going to come along and comfort you. Maybe it's a new lover, a perfect lover. That'll comfort your soul, won't it? Maybe it's money. Will that comfort your soul? Look, I'm old, all right? So here's Bruce Springsteen. Well, I sought gold and diamond rings, my own drug to ease the pain that living brings, searching for my beautiful reward. What's your beautiful reward? Jesus says, I am what you're looking for. I am your beautiful reward. Look what he says. Look at this verse. Come to me, all who labor heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Oh, I'm gentle, lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. You know, it turns out that my school teacher, Mrs. Surtees, was right. Sandy made a mess of his life. I didn't think so. I don't know how she knew. She's not perfect, you know. Jesus is the greatest teacher that ever lived. And I want to close this morning with a story that Jesus told. It comes from Luke 16, but I'm going to paraphrase it for you. Just listen. I'm going to paraphrase it for you a little bit. If you want the perfect version, go read Luke 16. Listen to what Jesus says. And we'll close with this. Here's Jesus. There was a Perth man who was clothed in Quicksilver and Gucci and who feasted at Grilled every day. At his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, and who wished he could eat out of the Perth man's rubbish bin. The poor man died and was carried by angels to heaven. The Perth man died and had an expensive funeral where everyone spoke about what a winner he was. But this is Jesus. The Perth man found himself in agony in hell. He looked up. He saw Lazarus enjoying heaven. And he shouted out, please, please, let Lazarus just dip the tip of his finger in some water and come and cool my tongue. I am in agony in this fire. Please. This is what Jesus said. Do you know what they said to him? Sorry, bro. In your life, you were comforted. Lazarus mourned. Now he is comforted here. And you? It's your time to mourn. And you will mourn forever. You're stuck. You will never get out. Blessed are those who mourn, they will be comforted.